Before we go to prayer this morning, I'd like to do a reading from Psalm chapter 105, beginning at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell about all his wonderful works. Honor his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his wonders and the judgments he has pronounced. You offspring of Abraham, his servant, Jacob's descendants, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments govern the whole earth. He forever remembers his covenant, the promise he ordained for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, swore to Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob as a decree and to Israel as an everlasting covenant. I will give you the land of Canaan to you as your inherited portion. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonderful works he has done. Remember his wonderful works that he's done. We seek his face, his strength. For when we do, the Lord answers. He will give us strength. We will see his face. Do we remember? May we go to prayer this morning. Father God, we, your people, we gather together and we're scattered but yet together, Father, in one spirit. We seek your face. We seek your grace. Father, you love us. You care for us. You are our great God, who is the creator of this world, this earth, and nothing that has been made has not been made from your hands. Nothing that has happened in history in the future is hidden from your sight. It is from your hands. You allow it. You orchestrate it. Father, we are but dust in your hands. As the scripture says, we are but a vapor. It is here for a limited time. And after, we either return to you or we return to dust. We return to a place of torment and pain. But for those that know you, Lord Jesus, as Messiah, our place is with you in heaven, with the Father, with the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the Spirit to live this life today. Father, to know your voice, to know your direction, to be empowered to live and to serve and to love, and to be reminded of everything that you have said and told us, Jesus. You gave us another counselor, another like you, who is God, sent from the Father and the Son. So Holy Spirit, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you that you're with us today. You're with those of us at home. We seek your presence and peace in the land of Israel, Father. We know there is a great outbreaking in emotions and, do we dare say, war at this point. Father, we ask for peace among your people, amongst the Palestinians and amongst the Israelites. Father, we pray for your hand of provision for those that are caught in the crossfire, Lord, that are looking for shelter or looking for food, Father, looking for safety. We ask for your provision for them. Father, we ask that you be with our workers, Lord. We pray that you'd be with them and watch over them, and Father, that they would know your presence and your spirit upon them this day. Father, we ask that you be with David and Connie as they are in Bechko. Father, as they serve the people there, as they go about doing their job, but Father, is more so about saving people's lives, helping them to overcome addictions, Father, to be redeemed in their thoughts and their thinking, their purpose, their hearts, their love, Father. We pray that you would give David and Connie great endurance, Father, as their days are long. And Father, it's just not about what they do at their place of employment. It's the people that they touch. Father, give them the words and the counsel, Father, to share with others, that they would know and see and experience the love of Christ. And Father, that you do a mighty work in Bechko. Father, we pray for those that are homeless, Lord, that they might have homes. We pray that a power outpouring of love and provision would come into place. We pray that there would be an end to long-standing hostility and prejudice between the white man and themselves. And Father, we know that David and Connie are the persons that you've placed there to help bring this to an end. Bless them, we pray, Father. And Father, we simply pray for those in our own congregation, Father, that are struggling with health issues, that are struggling with, maybe you are struggling with loneliness, Lord, as we are at home and isolating, Father, something that is foreign to how you've made us. You've made us to be in community. You made us to be companions with yourself, but with one another. When you made man, you saw that it wasn't good for him to be alone, so you made a woman to be companions, to be a helper. And you gave the privilege of children, Father. We ask that you be with each of our families, Lord. That you bless them, that you encourage them, that you strengthen them, Father. That you give them the vision of yourself, Father, through this difficult time. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in the Lord and in Leduc, Lord, in our churches, Father, that you bring unity amongst our brothers and sisters. Father, that you bring a peace that surpasses all understanding, Father, that would be seen and be visible to those that don't know you. We pray for peace in Canada, Father. We pray for a good government, Father. We pray for wisdom. We pray for love and compassion and mercy, Father, that you would shower that upon us. And Father, we pray for our neighbors in the United States, Lord. We pray for unity and peace. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to wash over its people again, upon its leaders, and that you'd bring unity amongst the people. Father, we ask that you be with Peter, Dustin's grandfather, Father, as he awaits surgery. We just simply ask that your hand be upon him. Bring him peace. Father, we continue to pray for Jake and Vera, Lord. Jake recovers from heart surgery, and as Vera deals with pain in her body, Lord, we come and be before you again. Simply ask for your grace, your healing, your hand of comfort and peace to be upon them. Lord, we pray for Karen as well, Lord. Daryl's wife, we just pray for healing upon her body as well, Lord. And Father, we do celebrate Niall and Krista with their 60th anniversary, as Daryl shared with us, Lord. We pray for continued love and peace. Father, that your spirit would rest upon them, and that they would be blessed by you. And Father, as we go to our learning time this morning, Lord, we just simply ask for your presence and your hand to be upon us as we listen to what David and Connie have to share with us and look at their videos this morning, Father, and as they work with and help the people in Bechko. We ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to have a video connection with David and with Connie, David was only able to get a 30-second video out to his son, Aaron, for his birthday. And so it wasn't possible for them to send a big clip of him sharing with us and speaking to us this morning. And Brian shared with me that it may be due to a beaver somewhere up north that cut through a fiber optic line, or we would say an internet line cable. So, we're in Canada, where a beaver can take down a system. But anyways, so what we're going to do this morning is David and Connie, David has sent a PowerPoint that we can view and see Bechko and what they've been doing there. And then he's sent along words that I'm going to read, and greetings from him and Connie, and they're going to share with us a little bit of what's been happening. So we're just going to play the PowerPoint and maybe allow everybody to see and view it for yourself. And then we will, I'll extend greetings from Connie and David and their words for us this morning. There you had your 10-cent tour of Bechko. David and Connie were actually going to try to join us on online this morning, so I don't know if that's possible or not, but hey, give a shout-out to David and Connie. We're glad that you could be with us and that we could share on your guys' behalf. So I'll just read what David has sent to us. I will not speak in Newfoundlandish, though. I'm not able to do that. I don't have the gift of tongues. but I could speak as fast as David. I don't know if that's possible. But greetings from Connie and I from Bechko. As I sit in my study this afternoon and look out the window, it is snowing. That's right. That was yesterday. It was snowing. It has been a long winter, and a week ago it seemed to warm up a bit, but it was just a tease, and today it is back to a reminder that we live in the north. Regardless, there is beauty in the snow, and if this is what God gives us, we will make do with that. I spoke with Pastor Shannon this week and thought to give you all an update of our ministry here in this community. It is now 9 months since we returned, and old friendships have been restored, and we find the need for help at times overwhelming. Please allow me to flesh that out a little. We are safe. The government of the Northwest Territories has been aggressive in protecting the people in the small remote communities north of us. As we have been there and have friends in, I cannot pronounce these names. I'll do my best. Yukalhaktok, Gojhaven, Taliok, and Inkujak. Forgive me, David, if I've butchered those. I'm sure I have. And many other of these towns, we are okay with the path that the government of the Northwest Territories has taken. Because we are the getaway to the north and small, our vaccination rate is over 60%, and although we would need to isolate if we traveled outside the territory, inside we are safe. And life has a semblance of normality. Our work days are busy, and there is always a lot to do. Because our work days and our ministry work intermingle so much, we can be stretched in our resources. It is not unusual to have people call for food, advice, or money. We do not give out money, but we do give out food. We work with the local non-government office, NGO, called the Friendship Center, and I trust them to distribute food to elders in need, as the list is confidential. Using some of the money you so kindly sent, we provided food and cleaning supplies for 20 families in need. Thank you. This was a larger venture, but most of our gifts are to families who are struggling or individuals who walk in and have not eaten for a couple of days. We feed them. I've been doing some more formal counseling through the Friendship Center. There is a young lady there who arranges my appointments and attempts at least to negotiate between my busy schedule and the need. Most days I feel so inadequate to help the people I counsel. The issues with substance abuse, relationship issues, suicide, and sexual abuse are way more than I can bear, but God is faithful. Before I begin, I pray, and we allow the Holy Spirit to be the counselor, and I am just his vessel. It is difficult to relate to you what I see and hear in words, but a mental picture may help, an echo. The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard used this analogy to describe how the crucifixion of Jesus Christ reverberates through time, so it is always in the now. His sacrifice is as effective today as it was 2,000 years ago. The same analogy applies to generational trauma. The history of placing First Nations people on reserves, the residential schools, and the scoop dramatically affected the participants in these injustices. However, like an echo, the same trauma reverberates through every generation that followed and continues to create havoc. It is the trauma that I see, hear, and feel as I counsel. In addition to this, as time provides, we both serve the local Baptist congregation. We'll forgive him. Well, sort of Baptist. The fellowship is called the Tilichko Community Church, and the pastor and his wife are from Texas. His assistant is from Korea. We are from Newfoundland, and a godly saint from the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Yellowknife take turns preaching. My turn comes up every second Sunday, and Jonathan comes out at least once a month. After each service, we set up the sanctuary for a meal, and every Sunday we serve between 50 and 75 people. For some, it will be the best meal they will have all week. Connie is part of the cooking, sorting, and getting these meals together. The pastors, David and Glenda, are not so used to having people help on a consistent basis, so this is a work in progress. The congregation varies in size from 25 to 50 with a mix of Tilichko residents and people who drift in because they work in Bechko and are looking for a service. This community is staunchly Roman Catholic, and not many wander from the path of their upbringing to join the other church. You may notice the difference with the meals. Well, that is simple. Some of the guys know when the service ends and the meal begins, so they show up. Oh, well. Shannon also asked that I share some of the things I've been preaching on when my turn comes around. As I've shared several times in Leduc, my goal in preaching is always to point to Jesus. It is all about Jesus. In that, my life as well as my words can be effective. A quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi is as follows. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is more a French Franciscan quality, and his actual words were, it is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. My position in the community is visible, and unless I walk in union with my convictions, it is no use standing up to preach on Christian values. The hypocrisy is obvious, and oh yes, it will be brought up to me. That is my day job. But God has called me to preach the gospel. Pat and Gary, take note. He underlined that here. Pat and Gary, take note. The world is divided into haves and have-nots, rich and poor, maskers and anti-maskers, vaxxers and anti-vaxxers. The Bible says that God puts governments in their place, and I do not intend to usurp his job. He has called me to preach the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of that, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Some might say, what gospel? Or are there not several ways to God? The gospel of Jesus Christ is that he came in human flesh, he suffered and died on a cross at Calvary, and on the third day he rose again. And he is alive, sitting at the right hand of God, living to intercede on behalf of those who call him Lord. Paul warned the Galatians that if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be eternally condemned. I take this warning seriously, and I preach Christ crucified as the Holy Spirit leads. Right now, I am preaching a series on lessons from the life of Elijah, as following a series allows me to study in advance for those weeks when I have little time to prepare. I tackled doubt and faith already, and my next sermon will be on idolatry. That is a zinger. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, and I preached from 1 Samuel on Hannah and being a woman, wife, mother of God. I have been invited back again. God has called us here. We have a 2-year contract with the Northwest Company, which will carry me to retirement. In the meantime, I am building trust to continue in counseling and working with the homeless. Statistics say there are 150 homeless people here, not counting sofa surfers. 150 homeless people in Bechko. It's in a community of less than 900 people. Thought. First Nation people have no history of homelessness, so their culture is unprepared to deal with a problem of this magnitude. David said to me, what typically would happen in their community is people would take them in. But they don't have enough houses for all the people. If God sustains me, I want this to be my work. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the least of my brothers of mine, you did not do for me. Message from David. One thing that stood out to me as David shared was the statement that he made. I'm just trying to find it here. From St. Francis of Assisi. It says, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. It's encouragement to us that words are of secondary importance, that our actions are of main importance, that we are always being looked upon and watched, and that the Father is most, what would we say, overjoyed when our words and our actions connect. They are one. But I've heard this quote many times, and I think it's a very wise quote, especially during a time now that we face, that, you know what, we're not allowed to gather or are not supposed to gather as we've gathered before, and that people are isolated in their homes or supposed to be isolated in their homes. Seems to be a very hard time in order to share the gospel with others. We can use technology as we are today, and we can broadcast something that has been foreign to us, but, you know, we're getting there. Reminds me of back in Scripture, it says, you know, everyone, when the two prophets arrive on the earth in the last days, everyone's going to see them. Everyone's going to hear them. We're seeing that today, technology-wise. But there is always a chance, an opportunity to share the gospel. And it may not be by words alone, but by our actions. What actions can we take? What actions can we perform to share with others that they might know the love of Christ, or that we love them, or that we care for them? That is probably what is needed more now than at any other time that we face. We love them, we identify with them. As the Apostle Paul says, I've become all things to all people so that I might, what? Be able to share with them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the sharing of his message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.